If you would like to follow along in a Bible, you don't have one, raise your hand. The ushers will get you a Bible. And then turn to Romans chapter 13. We will pick up our study from last week. We took a look at verses 1 through 7, but we really didn't get that far. And the title of my message is, How Should a Christian View Government? Part 2. Very apropos for what the president has called our nation in prayer today to do. In chapter 12, we saw how Christians are to behave towards Christians. In chapter 13, we are now learning on how Christians should behave towards governmenting powers that are over them. In our last study here, in chapter 13, we only got through one verse of those seven verses. So I'd like to remind you what those seven verses are. So let's go ahead and reread those, and then we'll come back and look at them one by one. So verse 1 of chapter 13 in the book of Revelation, in the book of Romans says, Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For the rulers are not terror of good works, but of evil. Let me illustrate this for a moment. So you get an understanding that the police officers and those that protect us on a daily basis, they're not out there if you're driving down a street that's 25 miles an hour. They're not down there out in the street looking for and picking on people who are driving 25 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone. That's what the law says to do. Thus, we should do it. Who are they looking for then? They're looking for the people who are driving 40, 50 miles an hour in a 25 mile zone. The first one is doing good, following the law. The second one's acting like a crazy maniac driving that fast in a 25-hour zone. Most of the time, the 25-mile-an-hour zones are set up around residents. Who lives in residents? Little kids. And who's the first ones not to look, both ways before they cross the street? Little kids. So the law is there to protect them. And that's why it's set that they don't speed in residential areas. But if you do, in the word of God, that's doing evil. Do you want to be, as it continues, to be unafraid of authority? Then do what is good. Well, spiritually drive 25 miles an hour. And you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he who does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but because of conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs are due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Let's go back to verse 2 now, and I'll reread it. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. This verse is telling us that we are not to resist the governments or the laws. Now, let me put it this way. For us as Christians, There is an exception to disobey the government, and that is if it violates the commands of God. If the government tells us to do something that goes against what God has called us to do, then we do not have to obey it. Now, is that something I just thought would sound good? Or do we have biblical examples of that? Turn in your Bibles, if you would like to see that example, in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 32. And as you're turning there, let me tell you about verses 12 through 16. This is a time Jesus had died, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles, and a revival took place. And then through the apostles and many disciples, miracles and healings filled Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was filled with people seeking this Christ. And you would think that those who were in the positions of religion authority would be happy that they're seeking after the Christ and that they got healed and miracles were taking place. But is that what happened? No. Verse 17. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with them, which is the sect of the Sadducees. Do you know why they called them Sadducees? Because they're sad, you see. Their belief was really crazy, and they still took the position of spiritual authority, and yet they didn't even believe in the spiritual authority themselves. And they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of life." Those are the spiritual truths that we have in our Bible. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and they taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with the elders of the children of Israel. And they sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened the doors, we found no one inside." Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men to whom you put into prison are standing in the temple, teaching the people." Then the captain went with his officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people. Isn't that interesting? They would fear the people, but they didn't fear the Lord. Why did they fear the people? Lest they should be stoned. And that is referring to rocks. Then when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest and asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." And I pray and I wish that our church would fill the Imperial Valley with the doctrine of the belief in Jesus Christ, instead of this garbage that is out there that people are believing in. And it just would amaze you what some people think a spiritual connection were. I don't know why this just popped into my head right now, but Marcy and I were up in Oceanside. No, it was Ocean Beach. And we were just walking down. It was one of those nights that they have all the stores open and booths and stuff. And it was quite a big crowd. And we had to stop for a moment, and I could overhear this girl talking to this guy. And she said to him, "You want to know where I get my spiritual strength from? It comes from the core of the earth. And it comes up from the core, and it goes through the mantle of the earth, and it comes into my feet, and it illuminates me, and I get my insights from the energy of the core of the earth." You remember that? That was crazy. If I recall, I was about ready to jump in that conversation, and Marcy grabbed me, and we said, "We gotta go." Do I remember right? You know, okay, she said yes. It was nuts, and it was just bizarre that people would think that that's where they get their spiritual energy from. Well, these people were afraid of the soldiers, were afraid of the people, but they weren't afraid of God, lest they be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest said, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." Let's pray that together, that the people around us, we'd be able to have opportunity to fill them with the doctrines of Jesus Christ. And to tend to bring this man's blood on us. Isn't that kind of crazy? You guys are going to bring this man's blood on us. And yet, when Pilate stood before them, "Who should I let go?" They started yelling, "Barabbas, Barabbas, crucify Jesus, crucify him. Release to us Barabbas, a murderer and a thief. Barabbas, we want Barabbas released," because they wanted Jesus dead. But Peter and the other apostles said, "We ought not to obey God rather than man." We ought to obey. That "not," I don't know where it just came from. But we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered and hung on a tree. That's the cross. Him God has exalted to the right hand to be the Prince and the Savior. Now, for those of you that have studied the book or just read through the book of the prophet Isaiah, you will see that the prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "I am the only God, there is no other God besides me, and I am your Savior." And here, Jesus is being proclaimed a Savior. In other words, they were saying that Jesus was God. "To give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is his Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Quick question. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? If you have sincerely asked Jesus Christ to come into your life as your Savior and your Lord, and have turned away from the world because God is more important, then you have the Holy Spirit in you. Paul, writing to the carnal church of Corinth, says, "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" The Holy Spirit lives within you. And when that word temple was used, it was the Holy of Holies. You are the temple of God if you have sincerely asked Jesus in your heart. If you have not, and you're just playing games, I'll give you an opportunity at the end of the service. But did you notice in verse 29 where it says, we must obey God rather than man? So that is the exception, that we obey God rather than man. Now, man may throw curves at us. Jesus even himself said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Take a look at our current president, President Trump, from his first tour of presidency. The people who are opposed to him indicted him, if you would, to be impeached twice. Now, is that something that is fair? Well, to answer that, we have to go to the law of the land. We see that the law of the land allows for an impeachment to take place if you have enough people to pass it in Congress. Thus, we see one of the things that the Democratic Party is saying they're going to do as they win back, you know, the Congress. The first thing that's going to be on most of their agenda is to impeach President Trump again. Is that wrong or is that right? Legally, the law says you can do it. But does that mean that he is guilty? They have to be able to prove that he is guilty. And he's got the right to fight it in court. And that's not resisting following the laws, but you're doing and using the law of the land. So even in our system, if there are abusive people using the law that was established for good, and yet they turn it into something that's not good, we still have a right to defend ourselves and not to just lay back and say, impeach me. They can fight it, and that's not resisting. Jesus never called us to be a doormat, ever. He called us to stand up for righteousness. Is there a cost to that? Absolutely. But didn't Jesus pay for the cost of you getting to heaven and all of mankind? To me, it's well worth it. But for Christians, we should not and don't resist the Word of God and what it says. So remember, we are always to obey God first. If not, listen closely. If you're not obeying God first, God will deal with you. You might be thinking, how is he going to deal with me? It doesn't say here, but I suggest you don't find out. I suggest that you obey God and rest in that. Now, Paul goes on and talks about the ruler's roles in verses 3 and 4. See, you thought we were only going to get through one verse. I'm surprising you today. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good. You will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Now, I want to point something out. It's a certain word that is used here that we kind of get in our mind of what that is. And that word is minister. Typically, we think a person who's a minister is sharing the good news, being there, discipling, counseling, helping, teaching. Well, they're talking about officers here. And it's interesting because the same word for the soldiers here is the same word that's used in Hebrews 1:14 that talks about angels or agents of God. And this is what it says. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Here, their role is to execute wrath on evildoers. Does that mean we're not going to get a rotten apple in the barrel every now and then? Sure you are, because Satan will tempt anybody at anything. It's so sad to say, and I remember this event clearly, that there was a wild chase from the border, and they finally caught him down here near Mount Signal. But that was an agent that was taking money to let people sneak into America. They caught him, and he had to pay the price. That's what that's talking about here. Yet here the government has been assigned this job to guard against those who are doing these things. When they don't do it, God deals with governments. Now, there's a conservative movement and there's a liberal movement. The liberal parts of our government are going to be dealt with. They're the ones that are endorsing transgender surgeries, even without the parents' knowledge. They're endorsing gay rights that actually become higher priority to them than normal rights. I shared with you when the school board had to talk about, you know, Pride Week. Did you know that there's over 30 days that the Pride movement gets acknowledged? And I went up and spoke into the microphone and I said, I find this interesting that there are over 30 days that they have acknowledged who they are and their rights. Yet the veterans who have fought and some have never come back or have been scarred for life, they have one day called Veterans Day, and that's it. And yet these people who they fought for, they get all of these acknowledgments, and a veteran gets one? I don't think it's balanced right. So gay rights, if you notice, the more movement you have in liberal states, the more you see that they get more powers and laws for them. And even Planned Parenthood, which our United States president set out a message that Planned Parenthood should not be federally funded. So they stopped funding it federally. But the Liberal Party just changed the wording on things and still allowed the money to flow to Planned Parenthood. And that's where babies are being aborted. And it's terrible. Now, if you've had an abortion, know that God loves you. Know that your baby's in heaven waiting for you. Well, how do you know that, Pete? Well, King David, when he had his affair with Bathsheba, what happened then? He went ahead and had even Bathsheba's husband killed. And he thought everything was fine. And then the child got really sick when he was born. And the servants, he was in ashes and sackcloth, and the servants came in, and one day they came in, and they were different. He said, "Did the child die?" They said, "Yes." And so he asked him to go get me fresh clothes, give me a bath, I'm going to get cleaned up. And the servants were confused. They said, "King David, why when the child was sick you were mourning, but now that he's dead you're not mourning, you're cleaning up?" And listen to what he said. "Why should I mourn? For where he is, one day I will be there as well." All those babies that were aborted, they're in heaven. They're in heaven, rejoicing to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, you may be riddled with guilt, but know that God has set you free. You ladies do not have to carry that. Or you guys that talked your girlfriends into having that. You can be set free from that bondage because God will set you free. So, even though there's a lot of wicked things going on, God will deal with them. Now, let me say this. They will be dealt with, but it may not be in our time or our timing, because we think they ought to be dealt with yesterday. Amen? But they weren't. So all we can do is trust God's timing, that they would repent or that God would deal with them. But until that time, we are under the words of the scriptures. It says that we are in subjection to them that are in control. Verse 5 clearly tells us that, where it says, "Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but because of conscience sake." Did you notice that there are two reasons here as to why we are to be subject in verse 5? I don't know about you, but I'll stand up openly. I do not want God's wrath on my life. Do you? Then let's be subject unto the authorities that are over us. Number 2, for conscience sakes. Now, if a person really understands, and it's a verse that I've hammered into you, and I will continue to hammer it into you, Revelation 4:11, we were created to bring God pleasure. I know that when I don't bring God pleasure, I get convicted because I failed in my purpose of bringing him pleasure. And guess what? Satan loves to remind me of it all the time. So what do? I try to stick to Revelation 4:11. When I blow it, I ask forgiveness of the person and I ask forgiveness of God, because that is what God desires us to do. For in 1 John 1:9, it tells us that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, excuse me, from all unrighteousness. Now, believe it or not, in verses 6 and 7, it shows us some other things that will bring God pleasure as we become doers of his word. Listen to what it says. "For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, honor whom honor." There are 4 key words in these 2 passages. The first one, tribute, which is taxes. Jesus said to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. You find that in Matthew 22:21. Now we pay taxes because, by the way, how many love to pay taxes? No. But we pay taxes because it is what? The law of the land. But I find it interesting that if we understand tithing, we give God 10% of what first comes into our lives. We give 10% not because we have to as the law of the land. Yes, God did ask, but it's because we love God for what he has done for us. And as a result, when we tithe, it's a joyous moment because we're worshiping in another way, showing our trust unto God. But Christians are to pay taxes. Now, I just want to mention this to you because a lot of people are saying, well, taxes are way too high. Well, even if taxes were a half of a cent, we would still be saying that. But I want you to know, when did Paul write to the Roman church? During the reign of Rome. Rome had dominion over them. And guess what? Their taxation was far worse than the taxations that we are getting now. If there's a legal way of not paying taxes, that's fine, but just don't cheat. Amen? I hear a bunch of cheaters out there. Amen? Okay. Number two, customs. If you buy something from a different country and there's a custom placed on it, you should pay it or just don't buy it. I'll give you an example. Marcy and I had saved our money all up, and we went on a cruise. And on this cruise, they had an art show, and they had some Kincaid prints that were being auctioned off. And I really wanted one of this church on the hill. It's just a beautiful picture. And I knew that we would have to take it through customs and we'd have to pay for it at customs. So when we got back to the United States, we went through customs, we carried it through, and the custom agent was there that we checked in with. And I told him that we have a Kincaid print that we bought because the boats are registered in different countries, so therefore that's a foreign, you know. Anyway, that's how that goes. And I told him we had the print, and you know what he said? Not a problem. It's fine. Go on. And he didn't charge us. That's okay. I was happy with that. But it was him that was saying it instead of me trying to sneak it in. You know, you put a picture and you go, kind of walking like Chester did in Gunsmoke. Pay if you have to pay. The next word is fear. Now, this is very interesting because in the scriptures, there's two words for fear. Now, as you know, or you should know, we have a school of ministry here. And one of the things that I have them do right off the bat at the very beginning is I have them get a Strong's Concordance. It has every word in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. There is a letter assigned to it, and then it gives you the definition of it. And I make them do that. Nowadays, you can just have a computer program that does it. And I says, you cannot use your computer. You have to use the Strong's. so that you, if you lose all electricity, can still look up the words and find out what they are. So, when I say this is Strong's, and the number is 5401, that's the word assigned to this particular word, fear. And this word literally means be afraid of those who you should be afraid of. There is another word in the Strong's or in the scriptures that has the word fear, but it says have reverence towards God and a love towards God. Now, so this is what it's saying. Be afraid of those that you should be afraid of. God in his scriptures has never asked us to be ignorant, stupid, or anything that you want to put in between that. Say for an example, somebody is, you're in 7-Eleven. You went in there to get something. Somebody comes in and they're going to rob 7-Eleven. They pull a gun out and says, give me all your money. Well, don't be a fool and go up to that person and put your arm around them and say, hey, since you're robbing this place, can I get a free Slurpee? No, be afraid of the guy with the gun. So be wise. Be fearful of those you need to be fearful. The next word there is a beautiful word. It's honor. And the Greek literally means to esteem, respect people, honor their positions. Even if you disagree with the person in office, in the leadership, you need to respect their positions. Oh, you can speak up to give your views, but you do it in a respectful way. I saw the edited version of Tuskegee flight, World War II. They were the black flyers. They won more accommodations than any other group. And there was this white man that was above the leading officer, and they came after this bombing and all these things and the death of one of their pilots to a meeting, and all the things that they did, this white officer looks over at his subordinate and he says, you know, even though you did all those things, I still don't respect you. And the one that was in charge of the Tuskegee Airmen looked at him and said, I wouldn't expect anything more out of you. And he goes, honor the uniform. And the black officer looks right at him and says, that is the only honor I have for you, is your uniform. And the officer was confounded and turned around and walked away. And the black officer stood there with his head up high because he was noble and he did good. But he spoke it with respect because he even called him sir. And then told him what he felt. And we, if we disagree with people, we should not be yelling and screaming at them and, you know, rioting and all of this stuff, but you speak with respect. Don't talk bad about them either. Why? That's a waste of time. Why don't you spend that same amount of time praying for them, that they would come to the saving knowledge of Christ and represent Jesus properly? Don't lower yourself to their standards, because you're only going to look like a jerk, and people are going to say, and they call themselves a Christian? We have the highest title there could be here on earth, a child of God, a Christian. Do we disagree with some? It's okay. But do it in the right way. Because by doing it in the right way, you will be bringing pleasure to God and thus fulfilling Revelation 4:11. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to close in prayer. And the worship team's going to come up. And we'll have some people up here to pray with you. But then you need to go. If you have children, you go and sign them up and let them have some fun in there and popcorn as well. So, Father, we come and desire more than anything else to fulfill Revelation 4:11, to bring you pleasure, as the King James puts it. I know that other versions say your joy, your will. We want to be in your will and bring you joy and pleasure. And so help us to recognize when we're not, so we could ask for forgiveness, and that you would wash us clean by the blood of the Lamb, and that your mercies are new every morning. And yet those merciful gifts that you don't allow us to have when we're not believers are held back. And so, Lord Jesus, if there's anybody here today or watching on live stream, pray this prayer sincerely. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you for your love for me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Dear Jesus, thank you for forgiving me because of what you did and my faith in you. I accept you to be my Savior, my only Savior. The government cannot be my Savior, but you are my Savior. I accept you as my Lord, to guide and direct me through your Holy Spirit that you're putting in me right this second. And I accept you to be my very, very, very best friend in life. Guide me, direct me in such a way that my life would bring pleasure and honor to you. And Father, as we enter into our mission fields this week, may our hearts, all of our hearts, be in tune that everything would be accomplished that you want accomplished this week. And Father, as I go through some surgery tomorrow, I just pray that everything will work out without any complications. I really ask for no Malinger factors to fall onto this, but just your loving grace. Give the doctor wisdom with a scalpel and let it heal up quickly, and that I may be back as soon as possible. I love you, I thank you, I praise you. Bless these kids with VBS. Let us not get so busy that we forget to have our kids there, because so many people will accept the Lord during those times. So we love you, we thank you, and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.